Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Menachas Daf Samach Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Masechet. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn to the top of Daf Samach Gimel, we notice a Mishnah. It begins, Ho'imer hare olai b'machvas. If a person accepts on himself the obligation to bring a mincha b'machvas, lo yovi b'marcheshes, so he should not bring the marcheshes type. As far as the differences are concerned, as we go on in the Gemara, we will notice the differences between these two types of meal offerings. Likewise, if someone accepts upon himself bimar cheshes, lo yavi bimachvas. Ma bein machvas lemar cheshes? So the first opinion, we have here a machlokas tanoim as to what the differences are. Before we continue in the Mishnah, let's just glance at the side where we have one of our Gemara markings features that appears in the Shas Ozer, the cornerstone of the marking system, topic headings and structural notes. The topic headings are entitled No Say. In this case, we have written on the side, Deois Tanoim b'ma'u hevdeil bein minchas machvas b'minchas marcheshes. Tanaic opinions as to the differences between these two types of menachas. So as we turn back to the Mishnah, we have a number one indicating the first opinion, Marcheshes yesh lo kisui, machvas ein lo kisui, divrei Rabbi Yossi Aglili. So Rabbi Yossi Aglili represents the first opinion, and he says that the marcheshes is a type of vessel that has a cover to it. The machvas does not have a cover to it. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel Omer, Marcheshes Amuka Umasel Roichashin. The nature of the Marcheshes is that it's prepared in a deep vessel, and it's Masel Roichashin, we can say it is sizzling. Machvas Tsofa. Machvas is a shallow vessel, Umasel Kashin, and it's a type of harder. Baked good. So in contrast to the machvas, which is a koshet, a harder type baked good, the marcheshes could be termed spongy. My taimo, the Gemara asks, my taimo, the Rabbi Yossi. What is the reason for Rabbi Yossi Haglili that says the marcheshes has a cover and the machvas does not? Before we go further, we just now encounter a new geometric form, a volcano shape, a trapezoid, and there you will notice as you skim ahead in the Gemara, there are three of them, and we've actually numbered them on the side, on the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara, you'll see 1, 2, and 3. These are explained in the outside margin under our No Say Mivne heading, where we've written, the trapezoids represent shlavim, stages, behesber, to explain minayin l'Rabbi Yossi Aglili, from where does he know the machvas bekisui or marcheshes beli kisui? From where does he know his point that the machvas has a cover and the marcheshes does not have a cover? These, of course, are the vessels in which the respective menachos meal offerings are baked. So the Gemara, in attempting to answer what is the source of his difference, Ilema, if you'll say marcheshes de asya aruchushe halev, that the marcheshes is associated with an expression, rechushe halev, thoughts, a person who thinks. Rashi says, hirhure avera. We've not underlined the word halev, the lev being something that's internal or covered. Kidachtiv, the pasuk says, rachash libi davar toiv. So in this pasuk you see, lev associated with the word rachash, rachash being the same as the basis of the word marcheshes. So that the word rachash or marcheshes may be associated with heart, heart being covered. Umachvas, maybe Rabbi Yossi holds that the machvas has no cover. Da asya amachbui hape, that it's associated, it's derived from machbuei haper kede amri, and she, this expression of machbuei haper, as people say, minbach nevuchi. Minbach nevuchi is uttering a sound, it's a loud, audible sound, a barking sound, so that the idea of a machvas is something that's galui, that's exposed, just like a bark is something loud and heard and is exposed. Well, if that be the case, if Rabbi Yossi is basing his explanation of marcheshes and machvas on expressions that people use, rechushi halev or machbuya hapeh, emo ipcha, I could suggest just the opposite. Machvas the asyo a machbuye halev. We want to refine our pshat before we go further. That in suggesting on the first stage that ilemo marcheshes the asyo a rechushi halev, asyo means that it comes, a person may bring it as a source of a reason for his bringing, or the source of his bringing is because of hirhure avera. The person wants to bring this as a type of atonement, if you will. So it's asyo, it comes, arechushe halev was the first stage, and the machvas is the asyo amachbu epev, for things that a person says. Well, if that's the reason for the difference, we can say just the opposite, and now we're at stage two, emo ipcho machvas, the machvas comes, the asyo amachbu halev. It comes for machbu halev. Lev here is associated with the word machbue, which is something hidden, a machbo, a hiding place. Dichtiv lomo nechbesa livroach. You see that the word nechbesa is associated with something that is in that is hidden. So that if you're basing on why people bring these menachas and base it on terms that people use, well, you can see that these terms are actually quite flexible, that machbas might be associated with not barking, as we said in stage one, but rather as machbo, something hidden, as we are seeing in stage two. And likewise, marcheshes, dasya aruchushe, the marcheshes comes over things that people say. As people say, this is a common saying, Merachshon Sivsase has to do with the movement of one's lips, so that it comes because of speech. Speech being something audible, heard, visible. And as a result of this dilemma, if you will, we're not making any progress in determining what the root of the word marcheshes and the root of the word machvas is, in order to determine what kind of vessel they are brought in. Elo, stage 3, Gemara Gemiri Law. The Gemara Gemiri Law means there's an oral tradition that a marcheshes has a cover and a machvas does not have a cover. Before we go further in the Gemara, just a detail that Rashi adds. We mentioned before that Ruchushi Halev, that we saw in stage 1, that a person may bring the Marcheshes because of Hirhure Avera. Rashi also mentions that the Machvas comes Amachbuye HaPeh. He mentions that may be as a result of a person being guilty of Rechilus, which is a form of Lashon Hara, of evil speech. Nevertheless, we saw that that approach taken in one could be reversed, as was demonstrated in stage 2. Therefore, we had to come on to stage 3, indicating that defining the marcheshes and the machvas, respectively, is based on an oral tradition. Continuing in the Gemara, Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel Omer, v'chulei, marcheshes is amuka, he said, dechtiv, the pasuk says v'chol nase b'marcheshes, b'marcheshes. The pasuk indicates that the vessel used for preparing this kind of mincha is something made b'marcheshes. The base of that word is a shortened form of betoch, means inside, with an interior. Hence, the vessel described has depth to it. Machvas tzafa dechtiv, the pasuk. The same pasuk in Vayikra Perek Zayin, pasuk Tes, which we have included on the inside margin, says the al machvas, means on the machvas, indicating something that has no interior to it. It's more like a pan or a very shallow type of vessel. Tanu Rabbanan, the topicating that we've included to accompany this piece of Gemara is on the outside margin, Nosei, Machlokes Beishami Beishillel, B'mishoma Hare Olai Mar Cheshes. We're going to see a controversy between Beisham Beishillel regarding someone who accepts upon himself as a vow. He says, Hare Olai, upon me, is Mar Cheshes. We will shortly learn that Beishamai has a dilemma or a doubt regarding such an obligation. Marcheshes, on the one hand, maybe the speaker's intention may be that he's dedicating or he's vowing to bring a meal offering called a Minchas Marcheshes. On the other hand, maybe, since he didn't say Minchas Marcheshes, maybe his intention is to bring the vessel. He wants to dedicate a vessel that we just discussed before, a Marcheshes vessel. According to Beis Hillel, though, we will learn, there is no doubt. If a person says, Hare Olai Marcheshes, since the vessel used for preparing these offerings is called a Marcheshes, this person is clearly accepting upon himself to dedicate a vessel of this nature. Now we turn to the Gemara, where we see a Tanaic source. That which is framed in our Tanaic, in our Gemara marking systems, is of a Tanaic origin. We do this framing so as to distinguish the Tanaic sources that the Gemara quotes from the rest of the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan, Beis Shammai Omrim Haomer, someone who says, Harei Olai Marcheshes, upon me is Marcheshes, Yeimunoch Achiovo Elio. We say that he should not act until Elio Hanovi comes and clarifies our doubts. Why? What's the doubt? Misafke lehu, it is a point of unclarity, of doubt, to Beis Shammai, e al shum kli nikru, o al shum ma'asehem. Is the, when we say the Minchas Marcheshes, is it called a Minchas Marcheshes by virtue of the vessel in which it's brought, or by virtue of the nature of the way it's baked? In other words, we said before when we were learning the Mishnah, Marcheshes, as he says over here, Shum Ma'asem would be, it's a spongy type of baked good, a soft, spongy pastry. Ubeis Hillel Omrim, Kli Hoya Bamikdash. There was a vessel in the Beis HaMikdash, Umarcheshes Shma, and the name of the vessel is Marcheshes. The Doime Kamin Kalbus Omuk. And it looked like a kalbus. It's a type of vessel that had depth to it. Ukeshebotzeg munach besoichoi, and when you placed the dough into this vessel, doime kemin tapuche habartim ukemin balute hayevonim. These are two, tapuche bartim and balute yevonim, are two types of fruits or nuts that have a particular shape. So the Brisa is saying that when the dough was placed into this vessel, and Rashi has a little picture that accompanies this, apparently within the bottom of the vessel there were depressions in which the dough was placed, so that when the dough was baked or prepared, it ended up looking like these kind of spherical fruits that are being named here. V'omer, the Brisa goes on to say, V'omer, V'chol hanase b'marcheshes v'al machvas. So we see from this, the Gemara points out, Almo al shum hakelim nikru. The terms marcheshes and machvas are a reference to the vessels. As the Pasuk says, that which is prepared, na'ase, that which is prepared, b'marcheshes, in the vessel called marcheshes. Velo al shum ma'asehem, and the reference to marcheshes is not a description of the quality or the consistency of the dough, and the baked good, but rather the vessel itself. So to review this machlokes, according to Beis Shammai, if a person says Hare Olai Marcheshes, to Beis Shammai, it's not clear, is it a reference to the vessel or is it a reference to the baked good itself? Namely, the term marcheshes maybe is a description of the spongy quality of the baked good, and hence, if he said Hare Olai Marcheshes, he's really accepting upon himself to bring a meal offering of that nature. On the other hand, The marcheshes is also the name of the vessel in which it's prepared. So maybe he is accepting upon himself a vow to bring such a vessel. Basil, on the other hand, feels very clear, one-sided clarity, we'll say, and that when a person says marcheshes, the term marcheshes is a reference to the vessel in which it's prepared. And hence, a person who says Arayel marcheshes intends to dedicate to the Beis HaMikdash a vessel of that name. The Mishnah, Harei Olai B'Tanur. If a person dedicates a meal offering using this expression, he says, upon me it is to, I am to bring B'Tanur. Lo Yovi, he should not bring one of the following three alternatives. He should not bring something that's baked or prepared in a kupach, that's maife kupach, velo maife re'ofim. Re'ofim are tiles. Hu maife yoyros ha'arvoyim. Yoyros ha'arvoyim is another kind of vessel that you can, if one looks in the Meforshim, he can see different expressions or explanations. The Rabbeinu Gershom explains that it's a type of stone pan. So that the Tanakhama is telling us that if a person says he is upon himself is to bring a tanur, it means he intends to bring a meal offering that's baked in a tanur. It's a specific type of baking unit and not any of these other kinds of units. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Yehuda is a little more expansive than the Tanakhama. He's a little less limiting. He says, Rotsa maybe maife kupach. And Rashi explains that a kupach is a type of tanur. In Masechah Shabbos, in the third parak, there are references to different kinds of ovens. There's a tanur, there's a kira, and a kupach. It's pointed out over here, Rashi quotes here what one sees in a more elaborate fashion. In Masechah Shabbos, a kupach is a type of stove that has room for one pot on it. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, if one says Harei Olai B'Tanur, it will be okay if he brings something baked in a kupach as well. Now a new point. Harei Olai Minchas Maifa. If a person accepts upon himself that kind of vow, that kind of offering, a Minchas Maifa. Before we go on, it's worth looking at the pasuk that is alluded to in this Mishnah, in this sukkah. Vayikra Perek Beis Pasuk Dalet. We've included this pasuk on the inside margin, the lower part of the page. You can see Vayikra Perek Beis Pasuk Dalet. It says in the pasuk, V'chisakriv korban mincha maife tanur soiles chalois matzois blulois b'shemen urukike matzois meshuchin b'shemen. In describing this maife tanur, the pasuk alludes to chalois and rikikin. In both cases, they are prepared with oil, as the pasuk says. So if one accepts upon himself to bring a minchas maife, there are two opinions. One, the Tanakhama holds, lo yovi mechzo chalos mechzo rikikin. There are 10 loaves that make up this and all the other minochos that are of a minchas nedova nature. And we've seen this point mentioned in previous Gemara's courtesy of Rav Popa. The Tanakhama says that one should not bring the Minchas Maifa as a combination 5 chalos and 5 rikikin, but rather either 10 chalos. Chalos and rikikin are different types of loaf quality or loaf form. So the Tanakhama says you have the choice of either 10 chalos or 10 rikikin. Rabbi Shimon Matir, Rabbi Shimon allows Mechza Chalos and Mechza Rikikin, Mitnei Shehu Korban Echad, because as far as Rabbi Shimon is concerned, the Pasuk views Chalos and Rikikin as being part of one singular Korban. As far as the source for this, we will see this later in the Gemara. Before going on in the Gemara, let's again take a look at our Nosei, our topic heading. In the outside margin, the Nosei, Machlokes Tanoim, B'misha Nodar, Lahavi Maife Tanur. We saw this in the Mishnah. Here, the Braisa will be a little more elaborate on the very point that we described in the Mishnah. The Tanakhama, Dafka, Shenefe B'Tanur, V'lo B'Dover Achir. The Tanakhama is limiting. The type of mincha you bring must be prepared in a Tanur and not in any other baking unit. Rabbi Yehuda Gam im ne'efe bekupach kosher. He will say something prepared or baked in a kupach is also kosher. The kupach min tanur. The kupach, the word kupach, is a reference to a type of tanur. So that you are in conformity with what you said. You said you want to bring a maifa tanur. Being that the kupach is a type of tanur, you are fulfilling your obligation with something baked in a kupach as well. Turning now to the Gemara Tanur Rabbanon, maifa tanur. Velo maifa kupach, velo maifa ra'ofim, velo maifa yoros ra'avoyim. The expression maifa tanur, according to the Tanakhama, is limited to that and not to any of these other three examples. These three examples we saw in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, tanur, tanur, shnei pa'omim. He's referring to Vayikra, Perek Beis, Pasuk Dalet, the Pasuk we read before, and also to another Pasuk, Vayikra, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Tes. You find the word Tanur referred to twice. We should point out that Vayikra Zayin, Pasuk Tes is found on the upper part of our page on the inside margin. Let's read the Pasuk. It says there, and we're reading in the upper part of the page, in the inside margin, V'chol mincha asher te'ofe betanur, V'chol hana'aseh b'marcheshes v'almachvas la'kohen hamakriv oiso loy tihyeh. You see in this pasuk, it might asher te'ofeh b'tanur, and in Perek Beis we also saw maife tanur. So the term tanur appears twice in the Torah in the context of these minochas. As a result of that, lahachshir, this comes to include maife kupach. Rabbi Shimon Omer, tanur, tanur, shnei pomim, shetehei afiyosun betanur, v'echod, shetehei afiyosun betanur, v'echod shiye hegdeshon betanur. Rabbi Shimon has another drosha from the double use of the, or the double appearance of the word tanur. One is that its baking shall be in a tanur, and that its sanctification is in the tanur. In other words, its sanctification is at a rather early stage of its preparation, because after it's baked, there's a further stages in the processing of the mincha, whereby the kometz is taken. However, Rabbi Shimon holds that at the tanur stage, it becomes sanctified. The Gemara focuses right now on this last point of Rabbi Shimon. It says, "Umi isle Rabbi Shimon hai svora." Does Rabbi Shimon really hold that its sanctification takes place in the oven? For Hotzman, we have the following Tanaic source, also with Rabbi Shimon in it. Rabbi Shimon Omer, li'olam have a rogil lomar, you should be accustomed to saying, shtei alechem v'lechem aponim, ksheros bo'azora u'ksheros bebeis pagi. The shtei alechem and the lechem aponim, which, by the way, just parenthetically, these were menachas that did not have a kmitza taken from them itself. A handful was not removed directly from the shtei lechem nor the lechem aponim. Nevertheless, Rabbi Shimon says that the lechem aponim and the shtei halechem, if they are to be found, whether in the azara, which is fine, or even in beis pagi, Rashi here explains that it's a location outside the wall of the azara. It's called one wall outside the Azora. So that, what do we see from here? We say that if it had achieved sanctity in the Tanur, then leaving the Azora would have been reason for them, the Shtei Alechem and Lech Bonim, to become Pasul. And if you're telling me that it's kosher, the base, Pagi, the area outside the Azora, that indicates that it was not sanctified in the Tanur. Therefore, to suggest, as we saw in the first source, that Rabbi Shimon holds its sanctification, the mincha sanctification, is in the tanur, that's rather unlikely. Omar Rava. So Rava explains or resolves these sources. Amar, say, restate the first source as follows. Shehe hekdeshon l'shum tanur. That means when you sanctify the flour for the mincha you want to bring, you should sanctify it having in mind that its baking shall take place in a tanur, but not that the tanur is the source of its sanctification. The Gemara continues. Hare olai minchas maife lo yovi mechza v'chulei. Before going on in the Gemara, let's glance at the outside margin under our no say heading. Machlokes tanoim v'mi shenodar lohavi minchas maife tanur. We will see explained in a more elaborate fashion, which we already saw, the machlokes tanoim concerning someone who vows to bring a maife tanur. Reb Yuda will hold lo yovi mechza chalos mechza rekikin, and Rabbi Shimon says that it's mutter. According to Reb Yuda, it cannot be a combination of half chalos and half rekikin. Rabbi Shimon says the combination is acceptable. We start a Tanaic source, which continues onto Amud Beis, Tanur Rabbanan. The pasuk that's cited here is a pasuk we've made reference to already before, Perek Beis, pasuk Dalet. It's quoted on the inside margin. You can see the entire pasuk there. The Brisa breaks it down and says, V'chi sakriv, kishetakriv, kishetirtze lasois davar reshus. The pasuk, by saying b'chisakriv, we're referring to a voluntary offering. Korban mincha was found in the pasuk. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, minayin le'oimer hare olai minchas maife. From where do we know that someone who says, I am accepting on myself the obligation of a minchas maifa, shelo yavi mechza chalos and mechza rekikin, that he should not bring it as half chalos and half rekikin loaves? Talmud Lomar, the answer to from where we know this is korban mincha, the posuk that we are quoting. Korban echod amarti loch velo shnaim shelshu korbanos. Since the term appears in the singular, korban mincha, a singular korban, so we are instructed to bring something of a singular nature, not a combination of two kinds of loaves. Omar lo Rabbi Shimon, v'chi nemar korban korban shnei pa'amim. Does it say in Vayikra Beis the term korban twice? So in looking, in before going further, let's look back at that pasuk in Vayikra, Beis Pasuk Dal, at the bottom of Omid Aleph, on the inside margin, it says, V'chisakriv korban mincha maifetanur. There's a heading we can call to this pasuk called korban mincha, a singular korban. And it goes on in the pasuk to say, Soilus chalas matzas blus v'shemen u'kike matzas meshuchen b'shemen. That singular korban, as far as Rabbi Shimon is concerned, could be made up of these elements, chalos and rekikin. So Rabbi Shimon says, since it doesn't break down the minchas maifa into two separate korbanos by using the word korban twice, v'halo lo ne'amar elo korban echad, he continues on the second line from the top of Amud Beis, the pasuk says only korban once, v'ne'amar bo, and in the context of the pasuk it says chalos urekikin. Me'ata, you see, from this, from now, you see, rotzalahavi chalos maybe, rekikin maybe, mechza chalos, mechza rekikin maybe. You have all kinds of options. You can bring 10 loaves of chalos. You can bring 10 loaves of rekikin. And a third option you have is to bring 10 loaves, 5 of which are chalos and 5 of which are rekikin. Uboilon, and then you mix them up, you mix them together, v'koymetz mishneim. In the case that you bring chalos and rekikin, you mix them together and take a handful from that mixture, from both of them, meaning one handful from the mixture that contains both of them. V'mkomas v'yola b'yodo me'echor al shneim yotza. If in the handful you notice that it's the quality of it is either pure chalo or pure rekik, it doesn't matter. You are still in fulfillment of having taken the kmitza to cover both. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda Omer, this is another sheet of Tanoim that we see in this source. On the outside margin, we have under our Tat Nose sub-topic heading the following. Shitas Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, Doime lo aviv. He is similar to Rabbi Yehuda, his father. Doime reolai min chasmai fitan lo yovi mechza chalos and mechza rekikin. That one who accepts upon himself the obligation of a maifa tanur shall not bring part chalos, part rekikin. L'kaman a Gemara tazvi mal evdil beino li aviv. Later, the Gemara will point out what the difference is between them. After all, if he appears in the same source together with his father, there must be a difference. What it is, that will be revealed in the Gemara. Turning back to our source, Rabbi Yossi Buda Omer, Minayin lo'im are olai minchas maifer. From where do we know that someone who accepts upon himself a minchas maifer, shelo yovi mechsa chalos u mechsa rikikin, that he should not bring, unlike Rabbi Shimon, he should not bring part chalos, part rikikin? Answer, Talmud Lomar, and here there's already a difference. Here the source for Rabbi Yossi Buda's conclusion is different than the source that Rabbi Yehuda used, his father, Rabbi Yehuda, his father. Rabbi Yossi Rabbiuda says, the Pasuk, V'chol mincha asher te'ofe batanur, V'chol na'aso b'marcheshes v'almachvas, la'koin ha'makriv o'iso lo tiyeh. That's Pasuk Tes, and it goes on, Pasuk Yud says, V'chol mincha blulo b'shemen, v'chareva, l'chol b'nei aron tiyeh. Ma v'chol ha'omur l'mato, shnei minin chalukim. Just like that which it says in Perek Zion, it makes a reference to two different kinds of mincha. And Rashi points out, you have in this Pasuk, in Pasuk Yud, it says a belula b'shemen, that's a mincha that has oil added to it, and a chareva. Chareva is a minchas chatos, and that's a dry mincha, there's no oil added to it. In fact, if you were to add oil to the minchas chatos, you ruin it. So just like in the Pasuk in Perek Zion features two distinct types of mincha, af v'chol omur lemalo, so to that which is featured in Perek Beis, Pasuk Dalid, shnei minin chalukin, the chalos and rikikin, likewise over there, are two distinct types. It may be noted that both the Pasuk in Perek Zion and the Pasuk in Perek Beis describe a mincha that's prepared in a tanur. So just like in Perek Zion, it's clear that the menachas referred to, there are two distinct kinds of menachas, two distinct types of meal offerings, the blula b'shemen versus the chareva. So too, the reference to chalos and rikikin should be understood as two distinct types of menachas and not to be combined. The Gemara now turns to Rabbi Yehuda in asking a question. For Rabbi Yehuda, Shapir Koma Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon made a point. He said that it doesn't say in the Pasuk Korban Korban twice, which would distinguish or separate Rikikin from Chalos. There is one word Korban, and under the heading of Korban, which refers to a singular Korban, you find Chalos and Rikikin, giving a seemingly sound basis for Rabbi Shimon's opinion that Chalos and Rikikin are two parts of one mincha. Therefore, you could bring part Rikikin and part Chalos. What about Rabbi Yehuda? What does he say back to that? Omar Loch Rabbi Yehuda, who says you cannot bring part Chalos, part Rikikin, says, Kevon Dichtiv, since in Perek Beis Pasuk Dalet it says Bashemen, Bashemen, you see that word twice, and you can see that just simply by looking at the Pasuk. Kaman Dichtiv Korban, Korban Domi, it's as if there is a separation between the two, between the Chalos and Rikikin. As if it had said Korban, Korban twice. For Rabbi Shimon, what's his response to that? After all, now you see Bashemen, Bashemen, maybe that does serve to distinguish between Chalos and Rikikin. So Rabbi Shimon, what's his response? You'll notice we use a squiggle underline to indicate this type of back and forth discussion between the two opinions. For Rabbi Shimon, Ilog Siv Bashemen, Bashemen, had it not used the word Bashemen twice, Have Amino, I would have thought that in bringing a Minchas Maifa Tanur, Dafka Mechze Chalos U Mechze Rikikin, that you have only one option, namely a combination of Chalos and Rikikin. Avol, Chalos L'chudai of Rikikin L'chudai O Emolo. But a Mincha made of 10 loaves of Chalos or 10 loaves of Rikikin by themselves would not be in fulfillment of the requirement. The requirement meaning after someone accepts upon himself a Minchas Maifa Tanur. Komash Malon, the appearance of the double Bashemen suggests that in fact there are three options, and they are a pure Chalos, pure Rikikin, and the third combination Chalos and Rikikin. Rabbi Yossi Buda, the Gemara now asks about Rabbi Yossi Buda. We have a little star to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text indicating where he was referred to above. And you can see, if you scan up, a parallel star. Rabbi Yossi Buda, Hainu Avua, the Gemara asks, Is it not so that Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda is the same as his father Rabbi Yehuda, that one is not to bring mechza chalos and mechza rikikin? The Gemara answers, Iko binayu de'i ovad. There is a point of difference if someone did, in fact, after having said, Hare olai min chasmaifa tanur, does bring combination chalos and rikikin. According to Rabbi Yehuda, if he did bring it, he is yotze, he fulfills his vow. According to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, he's more restrictive and says he is not in fulfillment. And why each one holds that way, Rashi explains that's based on their respective sources. That represents the conclusion of the fifth perek, and now we turn to the sixth perek. Before learning the Gemara itself, the Mishnah and the Gemara, we have a topic heading that we would like to read under our Nosei Mivneh heading in the outside margin. We feature a Roman numeral number 1 and 2. Beis Machloikos Tanoim. There were two sets of Tanaic controversies. Be'inyan Oimer Habo B'Shabbos, regarding the Korban Oimer coming on Shabbos. One, the first machlokes tanoim, will concern kamut haseoirim sheniktsura, the amount of raw barley that was harvested in anticipation of making it into the mincha. And the second Tanaic controversy, number 2, mispar ha mishtatfim baktsira, the number of participants involved in the harvesting. So turning to the Mishnah, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Omer hoya bo b'Shabbos mishalosh so'in. If it, the 16th of Nisan, which is the date for bringing the Minchas Omer, fell out on a Shabbos, they would harvest 3 so'ah. 3 so'ah is a measure of the grain. The so'ah is a measure of dry measure. So they would harvest 3 so'ah on Shabbos. It goes without saying that the Minchas HaOmer is one of those kinds of sacrifices that is Doche Shabbos, that supersedes Shabbos. U'b'chol, the Mishnah goes on to say, Mechomesh, if the 16th of Nisan came out on a weekday, they would harvest 5 saw. The Chachamim say no distinction is made with regard to amount that's harvested, no distinction between Shabbos and weekday. We have a slash mark indicating that that which follows is a new machlokes tanoim. And we call this Roman numeral number 2, Rabbi Chanino Sgana Koyanim, Omer, B'Shabbos Hoya Niktzar B'Yochid. On Shabbos, there would be a singular person doing the harvesting, Uva Magol Echod, with one, Magol is the name of the knife used for cutting the grains, Uva Kupo Achas, and he would come with one basket. Uba Choyol, if the 16th of Nisan came out on a weekday, so then you had 3 people participating. B'sholosh kupos, u'b'sholosh magos. It would be 3 people doing the harvesting. With 3 baskets and 3 knives. V'chachomim omrim, echot Shabbos v'echot choyol, whether it be Shabbos or weekday, the Chachamim, once again, make no distinction between Shabbos and weekday, b'shlosha, b'sholosh kupos, u'b'sholosh magos. There would be 3 people involved in the harvesting. B'shlomo Rabbonan, the Gemara says, I can understand the opinion of Rabbonan, Kosafri, they hold Isaron Mufchar mishlosha soin osi. A choice Isaron. Isaron is a much smaller measure. It's the amount of flour that is produced and fit to be used as a korban mincha that would come from the 3 sa'ah of original raw grain. So you can process, or let us say achieve, the isaron starting from 3 sa'ah of raw material, of raw barley. And as a result of being able to achieve a Isaron Mufchor, choice Isaron, from 3 Sa'ah, therefore there's no distinction made between Lo Shna B'Chol, the Lo Shna B'Shabbos. Elo Rabbi Shmuel Maikosavar, What about Shitas Rabbi Shmuel, who did make a distinction? If he holds that a choice Isaron comes only if you start off with five saw of raw material, then five saw should be allowed even on Shabbos. E mishalosh osi, if a choice saw, a choice isaron can be achieved from starting with an original three saw of raw grain, afilu b'chol nami, then three saw should be sufficient even during a weekday. And yet Rabbi Yishmael says that on a weekday you harvest five saw. Omar Rova, Kosav Rabbi Shmuel, Isoron Muvchar, Belo Tircha Osi Michomesh, Betircha Osi Mishalosh. A choice Isoron with little effort can be achieved if you start off with five saw of raw material. However, if you invest a lot of effort, a lot of sifting effort, you can achieve the Isoron, a choice Isoron, from three. Therefore, Bechoyol, on a weekday when there's no malacha restriction, so maisinon michomesh, you start off with five saw of raw grain. The hachi shvicha milsa, this will produce the choicest type of soles. B'Shabbos, when it comes to Shabbos, mutav shiyarbe b'malacha achas b'harkoda, better to do many times one malacha, the malacha of sifting. The sifting enables you to achieve a choice type of flour. The al yarbe b'malachis harbe, and not to harvest five saw, because by harvesting an additional two saw, with regard to those additional two saw, you're in fact engaging in additional malachas. You're harvesting, Rashi lists them, there's Yiktzor, V'Yizra, V'Yivro, V'Yitchan, V'Yirake. There are four additional malachas in addition to the sifting that are going to be taking place. So Rabbi Yishmael holds that it's better to harvest three saw and engage in extensive sifting rather than harvesting five saw. True, you may be reducing the amount of sifting that you'll have to do, but nevertheless, you will be engaging in quite a few more malachas regarding those additional two saw. At this point in the Gemara, we notice a new geometric form, and this is the beginning of a rather extensive discussion, and we explain on the outside margin under or nose mivne what we will be anticipating. The triangle is featured, and it indicates three nisyonos. There will be three attempts, la hashvois ben shnei shitos tanoim, to parallel two tanaic opinions, lomar, and the parallel will result in saying that be'inyan Shabbos, regarding matters of Shabbos, kol hecho de'efsher lo tarchinon, that wherever it's possible, we attempt to reduce the amount of tircha, of efforts that are expended. We'll see in the course of the Gemara a double underline under the expression omru dover echad, whereby, as we just said, at each stage there is an attempt to parallel two disparate or two separate tanoim from two different topics and say that they subscribe to the same thesis, that kol hecho de'efsher lo tarchinon. However, after each stage, after each attempt to say that the two opinions are parallel or could agree with one another, the Gemara will present an inverted triangle, d'chia. Hagemara tatzia b'chol pam sheyesh lechalek bein hanesibois b'shlov, that there is reason to distinguish between the circumstances of the two tanoim presented at each stage. B'shlovei hadachia, at each stage of rejection, simanu hahevdelim, we have marked the difference between the two tanoim, or the circumstances behind the two tanoim, with a diamond around the words hocha and hosam. Namely, here is one thing, and hosam there, something else. This will become more apparent as we get into the Gemara itself. So, turning to the Gemara, as far as our shiur today is concerned, we will just do the first stage without the rejection. Omar Rabba. Rabba represents the first attempt of creating a parallel. He says, Rabbi Shmuel, b'noi shor Rabbi Yochanan Broka omru dover echad. They hold the same thing. Desanya. We have the following Tanaic source. This source deals with the Korban Pesach, which is brought on Shabbos. And in offering the Korban Pesach, it's necessary to skin the animal in order to reveal the innards which are offered on the Mizbeach, that are sacrificed. And the source says, Arbosor Shechal Liois B'Shabbos. Arbosor means the 14th of Nisan, that comes out on Shabbos. Mafshin es haPesach ad hechoze, divrei Rabbi Shmuel benoit shor Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. You skin the animal. Skinning, by the way, is one of the forbidden activities on Shabbos. But since you're dealing with the Korban Pesach supersedes Shabbos. He says, however, you do the hefshit until the chest of the animal, thereby enabling you to remove the innards. But he's not allowing a complete skinning. The Chachamim ad shiyafshit es kulo. The Chachamim say you're entitled to skin the entire animal. Now, in focusing on the first opinion, namely Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher Rabbi Yochanan broke up, could it not be said mi lo omar Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher Rabbi Yochanan broke up hosam in the case of the Pesach, in the case of the skinning of the Pesach? Wherever you can minimize, you are to minimize and not extend yourself. In other words, we're talking about a minimalistic approach to the skinning. Hachonami, so too here with regard to the Omer, Kevon de Efsher, lo tarchinon. Kevon de Efsher means begimel saw. It's possible to achieve your isaron through harvesting three saw. Lo tachinon, we don't toreach, we don't extend ourselves to do any more. As we mentioned before, the Gemara will reject this parallel, and that's denoted by the inverted triangle, but we will wait for that in our next shiur. So with that, we conclude our shiur for today.